Welcome back to another episode of the Membership IQ. I'm Sarah Slayak, your host. And if you're tuning in to today's episode via video, you will see that I am wearing a Superman t-shirt equipped with a cool cape. Although I'm a little bit disappointed because I really should have a Wonder Woman outfit. She's my favorite, but Superman's going to have to do. And is it a bird? Is it a plane? Oh no, it's just me. It's just me talking about advocacy and heroes. Advocacy. Many, many associations invest in it, spend their time with it, hire lobbyists to oversee it. Advocacy is incredibly, incredibly important. No doubt. I'm not here to argue that, but I am here to tell you that it might not be very effective in the way that your association's doing it right now. Let's first take a step back and talk a little bit about heroes. Heroes. Young people today are very aware of the injustices in this world. They see injustice and they see need, but they don't think government is the answer to that problem. Interestingly enough, in the past 20 years, we've seen a huge influx in hero storylines for both children and adults. You know, we've got the DC universe, we have the Marvel universe, and all kinds of other heroes mixed in, from Harry Potter to Merida with Brave to the Lego hero guy, all kinds of movies and books with heroes at the center of the storyline. In our conversations with young people, meaning teens, 20-somethings, we hear this hero mentality come out in these conversations and focus groups and surveys. If you have someone in their teens or 20s in your life right now, you know that they kind of catapulted over traditional childhood and adolescence to be young adults instantly. And there's actual research to prove that for young people today, their brains have developed differently. Why? Because there's been such an influx of information via technology about the world we live in. They are very global thinkers, very mature thinkers. And given all that's happened in recent years in terms of change and disruption, from war to terrorism, to recession, to human trafficking, to climate change, to school shootings, to September 11, to on and on and on and on. All this influx of information, globalization, bringing attention to the world's problems means that young people today are very well educated about the issues we're facing, incredibly inspired to influence a positive change, and actually feel personally responsible for helping to implement that change, motivate change, advocate for change. As a result, we have seen more young people participating in protests, more young people using social media to create movements and build momentum. We've seen cancel culture emerge, where young people have actually advocated against the behaviors and decisions of companies or individuals alike. It's this hero mentality. It's this feeling as a young person that they're looking across and very aware of all the injustices in our society, and they're feeling personally responsible to change it, to use their voices for change. Okay, so let's bring that back full circle to advocacy, something that associations spend an incredible amount on. Some associations spend an incredible amount of time and resources on doing advocacy. We're lobbying at the Capitol. We're a watchdog. We're doing research. We are doing fly-ins and visiting with members of Congress. And all this is incredibly important and could arguably be considered valuable. But is it effective right now? That's another question. What we're learning from observing young professionals and youth today is that they aren't necessarily thinking of themselves as advocates, and they don't necessarily think of government as the solution to the world's problems. Rather, they are approaching things as social entrepreneurs. And what that means is that they are trying to gain collective momentum, grassroots organization to create change. Now, let's put that into comparison to advocacy, what advocacy tends to do. Advocacy efforts tend to gather a lot of information, do research. They want to have a strong, they want evidence. They want a strong argument in support of some sort of change or movement. They want to educate and inform the people who are following certain bills or activities within Congress, things like that. Now, let's put this into contrast to some of the momentum that we're seeing among young people today, because there's no doubt about it. There's a lot of research to prove that advocacy and government relations and participation is declining. Why? Because young people have a tendency to feel powerless to influence government. They feel largely uninformed about what's happening in government. And they don't feel that their participation can make a meaningful difference. So they're using a different strategy. They're not just using advocacy as we've always known it. They're actually using social organizing. Again, grassroots momentum. Here's what we can learn from this. For grassroots momentum, it's very action-based. It's bringing people together on a continuum, not just every once in a while when an urgent issue arises, but on a continuum to discuss, create, collaborate, and find solutions. It's very purpose-driven. It allows for participation of the masses, not just a few select people, but many, many people, and thrives off of the participation of new ideas from new people, new communities, and outreach. The social activism builds a following, whereas advocacy tends to build awareness. So there's a difference there. It's not just about pushing information out. It's about gathering people behind a cause, behind a purpose. And we see this not just in government aspects, but in other aspects as well. Did you know that both millennials and Gen Z are likely, considerably more likely than other generations, to take a pay cut in order to be able to work for a company or organization that they believe is making a positive change in the world? They are also considerably more likely to donate goods and services and donate their time. Even during the recession, 80% of millennials were donating money to charitable organizations. They're considerably more likely, in fact, 85% will make a purchasing decision based on that company's commitment to a cause or charitable organization. In other words, they're taking actions in all of the ways that they live, work, and do business to try to make a positive difference. They want to be heroes, whether that's to many, many people or within a small group of people. In any case, it's critically important to them that they are involved in the solution. And I cannot emphasize that enough. Far too many associations take a hierarchical approach to advocacy. They exclude, sometimes unknowingly exclude, the participation of younger people. They're they kind of make it a distant entity where we will inform you, we will hire people to do this, we will task this group of people to do this, but if you want to get involved, oh no, there's not really room for you at this table. This model is not sustainable for associations as well as for government and in many other aspects. Advocacy, as we've known it, isn't really working anymore. We need to be able to empower the heroes among us and make sure that our messages are getting across and that we can collaboratively create meaningful, sustainable change. I'm Sarah Sladek. Thanks for tuning in and hearing about heroes and advocacy. I hope that you're donning a super cape wherever you are, whether you can actually see it or if it's invisible. Take the time to use your hero mentality for good. This is the Membership IQ. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you in the next episode.